It is your tradition in the church to stand out of respect for the gospel, and so if you're able, please stand. We are in the Gospel of Luke all year long, and so we continue today in the 18th chapter. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and to not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused. But later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what that unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, it is good to be in your temple, among your people, in the presence of your Spirit and your Word. Lord, send your Holy Spirit. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, help us be persistent in prayer. Give us the confidence to know that you're listening, and the confidence to know that you answer prayers within your will. In Christ's name we pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Until just recently, I wasn't familiar with the Bago. Are any of you familiar with the Bago? I am a member of the Refreshing Rewards Club at Thornton's. I usually get my gas at Thornton's, and I, as a member of the Refreshing Rewards Club, I'm a member of that club. About every 10 days, they send me an email. And if I open up that email and I press on the gas pump, I will get 6 cents off a gallon the next time I go to Thornton's, if I make it there in the next 3 days. But while I'm there on that page, not only is there a discount of 6 cents per gallon for gasoline, there are a series of Bago offers. Bago. You know what a Bago is? Buy one, get one. Buy one, get one. And so this morning, this is your lucky day. You are going to buy one, and you're going to get one. You came here today to hear one parable, but you are going to get two parables. This is Bago Day here at Baker Chapel. Now, the first parable you just heard, this is the parable of the widow and the unjust judge. It comes in chapter 18, as I mentioned, of the Gospel of Luke. The bonus parable you're going to get it because it's almost a couplet with this parable that you just heard. And it is the parable of the friend at midnight. And we have to back all the way up to chapter 11 to get that one. But they have precisely the very same message for us told in a different way. If we do rewind and we go back to the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, it begins with the disciples asking Jesus to teach them how to pray. They want to know how to pray. And so Jesus shares with them the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. And so he says this. He says, when he was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples to pray." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to a time of trial.'" The Lord's Prayer. There is nothing more basic to the Christian life than prayer. Prayer is the essence of the Christian life. Prayer is that connection between us and God. a loving relationship between us and God. On the human level, it is impossible to have a relationship without communication. And without prayer, it is impossible to have a relationship with God in Christ. And so the disciples said, "Teach us to pray." And Jesus taught them, giving them this example of prayer. We struggle with prayer, don't we? I struggle with prayer. Do you? I'm sure that you struggle with your prayer. It's not easy to do. And so Jesus is there to help us, just as he was there to help the disciples. And today I hope to give you, if you're like me and you tend to struggle sometimes with your prayer, I'm going to give you just a few little hints and tips on how to kickstart your prayer life, that you might have that relationship that Christ wants to have with you. You'll notice in this Lord's Prayer, it's very simple, it's beautiful in its simplicity, but it begins where all prayers should begin, with praise of God. That's where it begins. Father, hallowed be your name. That recognition of that relationship that we do have with God the Father. So it begins right there, and then it moves into pleas that God's will would be done. On earth as it is in heaven, God's will, the kingdom of God, right now, right here, today, as we wait for the final consummation of the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of God when Christ comes again. And only then do we move into those human needs. And even when we get to the human needs, it's just those basic human needs, the bread. Not the bread for the rest of the week or the rest of the month or the rest of the year, but bread. Just that bread for today, the basic necessities of life we ask God for in prayer. And then the prayer moves into a request for forgiveness, a continual forgiveness, asking God to forgive us of our sins, even as we forgive others who have sinned against us. Finally, it ends asking God that he would protect us from evil in all of the things that we do. And do you know what the early Christians did with the Lord's Prayer? They prayed it 3 times a day. They made a habit of praying, and they used the Lord's Prayer, and 3 times a day they prayed. Here's my first trick and tip. Can we together agree that we will pray the Lord's Prayer 3 times a day? Very simple, very short. Kickstart the prayer life. 3 times a day we'll read the Lord's Prayer, and that's what'll get us started in returning to the essence of prayer. Now, right after Jesus shared with them the Lord's Prayer, he went into an example of what prayer really is all about. And this is your bonus. This is your bonus parable that you're going to get today. Listen. Jesus says, he finishes this prayer, "And do not bring us to a time of trial." And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. How much more will our God give us whatever it is that we need?" Time out. That one's on me. How much more will God give us what we need when we go to him in prayer and we ask for it? And there's the key. What we need. Not what we want. What we need. There was a woman who lived next door to my mom and dad. Her name was Rosie. It was Rosie and Guy. But whenever mom was somewhere, Rosie was usually with her. And when I was a little bitty guy, I was always with my mom, and my mom liked to shop. I really think she was kind of a professional shopper. She shopped all the time, and I went with her. And I guess I was just not very much fun to be around in a store because I wanted everything. And so Rosie, she tells the story about some of these shopping trips. My mom probably doesn't remember it so fondly because I was such a nuisance, but I wanted everything. I wanted, wanted, wanted. Well, my mom and dad, they wouldn't really give us anything that we wanted. They would give us certainly what we needed, but very rarely would we get something just because we wanted it. And so Rosie remembers me screaming through the store, "But Mama, I want it, I need it. Mama, I want it and I need it." Didn't really need it, and I didn't really get it. But it is instructive for our prayer life that if we want to see prayer answered, let's go to God and ask God for the things that we need. God knows what we need, and God is willing to give to us precisely what it is that we need. He will give it to us. He will not deny it. He will be quick to give it to us. God hears the cry of the needy, and he comes to their help. Jesus goes on after that parable, and he teaches about prayer. And he says, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? How much more will our Heavenly Father give to his children?" God hears the cry of the needy and comes to their help. And did you notice what he said that God likes to give most? God likes to give the Holy Spirit. Do we need the Holy Spirit? We need the Holy Spirit, and God is more than willing to give us the Holy Spirit. It's that Holy Spirit, God in Christ, living in us. That is, by definition, prayer. It is that relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father, the Spirit that lives within us, and God, through Christ, is willing to give us the Holy Spirit. Jesus is dealing in these parables with something that the rabbis called the lesser to the greater. The lesser to the greater. The man who was bothered at home, sleeping with his children in bed with him, the door already locked. That's the lesser. He came because he was being pestered. He came and opened the door and gave the bread to his friend who came at midnight. He did it under duress. Jesus, the greater, the lesser to the greater, greater Jesus, in Christ, God in Christ, willing to give. And that's why we get this couplet. That's why we get this bonus parable, as we move then again into the parable for today. And let me read it again. If it doesn't, if my glasses don't knock off my microphone again. Jesus told them this parable about their need to pray and always not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them, and yet when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on the earth." There's a bit of a twist in this parable, a little bit of a break from the normal pattern that Jesus uses. Normally, if we look at a parable, when we go into that parable, we're looking for Jesus to emerge in one of those characters, and many times he does. We're looking for God to show up in one of the characters of the parable. Does God show up in this parable? Is this judge representing God? Certainly not. Certainly not. He is in contrast to God in this story between the widow and the unjust judge. Widows in any age have a difficult, difficult time. I think about my own mother, who was widowed in 2011 when my father died. And yes, she was well taken care of. They had made plans, really, for mom to be alone. She had her Social Security, and she had dad's Social Security, and she had Medicare, and she had additions to that health care. She had a paid-for house, so she had a roof over her head. She had pretty good, but she didn't have her life partner anymore. It's difficult to be a widow in any age. But if my mom had been a widow in the first century, wow, the difference would be, it'd be startling. Just how different it would be to be a widow in that time. Because when a widow became widow, they were just pretty much left. They were on their own. The inheritance didn't automatically go to the wife, to the widow. It went to the sons. And so if the sons were either not there or the sons were not cooperative and not generous with their mother, they would just be left broke. And so we don't know what was going on with this widow in the story. We know because that she went to a solitary judge, that she was going to a Roman judge. She wasn't going to a Jewish panel. She was going to a single Roman judge. And it probably had something to do with money. Maybe she was trying to get a share of the inheritance. She was trying probably to survive. And so she goes to this judge, but she is helpless. Why? Because she can't appeal to God. He doesn't know God and doesn't care about God. She can't appeal for her sake because he doesn't care about people. And probably more than anything, she cannot bribe him, which was what you had to do to get the attention of a judge in that day. That was an easy way to get a judgment for you, would be to slip a little money into the judge. She had no money. She could not bribe that judge. She was without any kind of help whatsoever. All she had was her persistence, that dogged persistence. I came across a story. This, of course, is a parable. It's a story that Jesus made up, but it sounds like something that actually happened. Listen to this story. This is a story that comes, it was written actually in 1894 in a book called Eastern Customs in Bible Lands. And it gives a very vivid description of the judicial court at Nisibis, which is in Mesopotamia. Here's the description of this court. Opposite the entrance sat the Kadi, half buried in cushions and surrounded by secretaries. The front of the hall was crowded with people, each demanding that his case should be heard first. The wiser ones whispered to the secretaries and slipped bribes across to them and had their business dispatched quickly. In the meantime, a poor woman broke through the orderly proceedings with loud cries for justice. She was sternly bidden to be quiet and reproachfully told that she came every day, and so I will do, she loudly exclaimed, until the Kadi hears my case. At length, at the end of the session, the Kadi impatiently asked, what does the woman want? Her story was soon told. The tax collector was demanding payment from her, although her only son was on military service. The case was quickly decided, and her patience was rewarded. If she had money to pay a clerk, she would obtain justice much sooner. It is an exact modern analogy to Luke 18. Our poor widow, helpless in front of the judge. She's asking for justice. All she really wants is justice. She really just wants what's right, what's coming to her. This word justice is translated in some places vindication. She wants vindication. And here's my next tip and my next trick for improving and enhancing our prayer lives. If you have trouble getting your prayer life started, if you struggle with it like I do sometimes, go to the Psalms. God has provided a way that there are 150 Psalms. These are songs or these are prayers, and it is absolutely appropriate to pray the Psalms, when you don't know how to pray. And I pulled just a couple of Psalms. These are Psalms of vindication. Listen to Psalm 68. Let God rise up. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, let the wicked perish before God. But let the righteous be joyful. Let them exult before God. Let them be jubilant with joy. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides upon the clouds. His name is the Lord. Be exalted before him. Father of orphans and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God gives the desolate a home to live in. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious live in a parched land. Psalm 17. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From you let my vindication come. Let your eyes see the right. If you try my heart, if you visit me by night, if you test me, you will find no wickedness in me. My mouth does not transgress. As for what others do, by the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. Save me, O God. Psalm 54, by your name and vindicate me by your might. 109, be not silent, O God of my praise, for wicked and deceitful mouths are open against me, speaking against me with lying tongues. They beset me with words of hate and attack me without cause. In return for my love, they accuse me. Even as I make prayer for them, so they reward me evil for good and hatred for my love. We could go on and on. There is a psalm for every occasion. These are psalms for vindication. Sometimes we just want to cry out to God and we're angry and we're mad and we want justice and we want help and we want God to pay attention to us. And we can use the psalms. We can use those psalms to pray words that we can't find for ourselves. And so will we do it? Will we pray the Lord's Prayer three times a day? Will we pray the psalms? Jesus finishes this parable today with a challenge. Do you remember what he said? He said, I tell you, he will come quickly and grant justice to them. And then he pauses and he says, and yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? He's coming. There is an urgency. That's what this is about. There is an urgency to his coming. And when he comes, when he gets here, will he find faith? Will he find faith? Will he find folks like that widow with the persistence to pray without ceasing, to pray at an almost annoying level? Will he find in us faithful people, hungry with a desire to have a relationship with their Creator? God hears the cry of the needy and comes to their help. God hears your cries. He comes to provide help to you. Let's continue in an attitude of prayer. Let's pray with the psalmist as we share these words, as you repeat after me. Be still and know that I am God.
Be
still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be still. Be.